Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
On, get your nails done, curl your hair, run the extra mile, keep it slim so they like you. Do they like you? Get your sexy on, don't be shy, girl, take it off. This is what you want to belong so they like you. Do you like you? You don't have to try so hard.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 578. I'm Amy Matheny, and I'm so excited to have with me the original movie expert and film critic.
I'm as old as Methuselah.
You're old as Methuselah. No, you're not. Then what does that make me? Richard Knight Jr. with us on the Queercast. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm good. I'm always happy to be with you, darling.
Oh, I'm so happy. We have so much to talk about. For those of you listening, we're going to be talking about summer movies. We're also going to be talking about a new book that Richard has release that is releasing, and there's a signing this week in the Andersonville neighborhood, so you're going to want to rush there. But also, I just get to chit-chat and have you on the show. So what's
always
new?
Delightful.
What's been going on in your world?
Well, you know, the big thing for me this year is that my husband, Jimmy, and I, our civil union is going to be transferred to a marriage, so we're going to do a ceremony, and we have all these different things plan, you know, something for our friends, something for our family, that, you know, it's a big deal. So that's been pretty cool.
We never thought we would love the word conversion, but that's what we're saying here in Illinois, right? We're having civil union conversions into marriages, which we've taken back that word. We've taken back the word conversion. And I'm excited. That's exciting for you guys.
Well, and I, you know, as we're recording this, I've just come back from a screening of The Case Against 8, and I was like, oh, no, not another Prop 8 documentary. I'm so, you know, we're just like, I don't want to hear that term anymore. But this is like the Prop 8 documentary. The film was made by two young gay filmmakers. It's playing at the Music Box right now. The end of this month, it's going to be on HBO. And the lesbian plaintiffs were there at the screening, Chris and Sandy, along with one of the directors. I can't even tell you how powerful and moving it was to see that. This is, 3 weeks after seeing The Normal Heart?
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone from this dreadful history that we shared as a community to something like this that's so exhilarating.
Yeah.
So it's pretty groovy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had the pleasure of doing one of the public staged readings of 8 by Dustin Lance Black, and you know, it's it's okay. We love dogs on the Queercast. You know, it's just powerful just to read the transcripts, but I imagine with a documentary you got so many more details fleshed out. And when is it starting here in Chicago?
It's actually playing right now at the Music Box.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yeah. Well,
and it'll be there through this week. And then I want to say the end of the month, you have to check out, it's going to be on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those must-see people go, oh, documentary. Although maybe they don't say that anymore, because now documentary is sort of, people kind of are up for that.
Yeah.
It's really, really powerful, and, you know, you also get this behind-the-scenes thing with these lawyers, so it's like a really good, juicy episode of Boston Legal, but gay.
But
you know,
gay.
Very queer. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow. Well, I'm excited to see that. I am, and I'm so excited that it's coming to HBO, just for the fact that when... You know, we live in Chicago. It's amazing. We have opportunities to see Timeline Theater's beautiful production of The Normal Heart, or maybe people have the opportunity to fly to New York and see the production that was there a year and a half or so ago. But, you know, for many people in small town USA, I love that our stories are coming into their homes. And, you know, a week watching The Normal Heart on HBO with how many times they rerun it, or this Case Against Eight, you know, in a week, more people will see it than have probably cumulatively ever seen The Normal Heart, you know, on any stage anywhere. So it's...
Right. You're echoing exactly what this young director, Ben Cotner, who grew up in Indiana in the 80s, in the 90s, said to me. He said, I was a young gay boy who did not have access to anything.
Mm.
And that's exactly what he said. And that is so true, that there are still, you think, oh, everybody can get on a little phone or on the internet. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I grew up, you know, in East Tennessee in a small town outside of Chattanooga. And I was just home recently. I had to go home for some family stuff, and everybody's fine. But I had to go home, and my brother is sitting in the recliner in my parents' living room, as many parents have a recliner in their living room. And I'm sitting there, and all members of my family are in the house. And my brother's reading the nightly newspaper, the Chattanooga Free Press. And he's looking at it, and I hear my brother kind of go, huh. And then he starts going, oh, good God. And then he starts laughing, and he's like, this is just weird. And I look over at him and I said, Hank, what are you reading? He goes, I'm reading this letter to the editor. And he said, you know, we often have anti-gay letters to the editor in the Chattanooga Free Press. Tis the environment, because Tennessee is a very conservative state, and this area of East Tennessee is some of the most conservative in the whole state. So, but my brother said, I have to read you this because this is just weird. And so I want to read it because it's amazing. I read it to Jerry Dye, who wrote Cicada, over the phone, and he was freaking out. He was like, I'm going to write a whole monologue about this, or in the voice of this. Okay, so this is an editorial that someone wrote in response to them obviously publishing a gay marriage announcement, much like you and your husband are about to have.
Wow.
So here it is. It just tell me, I will pause for effect to see if you need to squeal or make any noise, because this is truly, it's truly sick and very unusual. Okay, here it goes. While the Times Free Press publishes images of smiling gay couples in tuxes, I live in a different picture. In my personal experiences, the gay man spits homophobe in my face. He pokes me in my belly button while I wait to go on stage at a local church theater. He puts his hand on my lower back like I'm his girlfriend at a church singles retreat in Gatlinburg. He runs his finger down my spine in the stockroom of the Salvation Army store. He sits behind me at the movies and murmurs, I'm your secret lover. He lounges at a burger place and tells his partner in tones to be overheard how I am obviously gay. He fondles my arm and pinches it like ripe fruit at a tea party meeting. Thank you. Meanwhile, I search for a wife. I seek a church where elders don't give me massages, where a man in a coconut bra doesn't win the singles costume party, and where the pastor doesn't pronounce sodomy holy.
Oh my God.
And
this
I hope
paper?
For journalists. This is in the paper. And I hope for journalists who look beyond poses in photographs. Oh, yes, folks, there is a name. His name is Dr. Brian Hale of Red Bank, Tennessee. Dr. Hale, methink the doctor doth protest a little too specifically, kinkily, and too much. Protested
too much. Did you look him
up? We did.
And is he a Nelly Queen?
Well, you know, As a Nelly Queen, I don't like to poke fingers at another Nelly Queen.
Okay.
However, he's missing a very good opportunity. I don't know, but I'm reading it on my podcast, and I've been waiting deliciously to record this show. I can't even tell you to read this thing. And I was very happy that you wanted to be a co-host as opposed to just doing my little interview, because this is some sick shit, my sports fans.
Oh,
I mean, this is so specific, and there's so much denial in this because,
wow.
I mean, he's not a bad writer, right? It's very
right.
specific. It's very visceral. This is a man who's gone through some stuff, and he is on the wrong side of all of it. Bless his heart.
Poor guy.
Right?
That's my reaction as a poor man. You know, is he in denial? Is he, I mean, to catalog all those different little physical things.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Exactly. I got to tell you, it's specific. Every one of these things happened to this man. So
I ask you, is it common in Tennessee for people to sort of get into your physical space? You know, I'm from Nebraska where people do not touch you. So it would be a little bit more unusual they might put an arm on your shoulder, but these, you know, to put the hand on their spine.
Runs his finger down my spine in the stock room of the Salvation Army store.
Oh my gosh. Somebody is wrestling with something mentally very, back and forth, back and forth. Can
but
you imagine?
We started reading this and I was we ended up going to dinner that night. Some people were straight, some people were gay. We were all like kind of around the same age. And as I started it, one of the gay guys that I know, back near my home, he was like, this is a joke, right? This is a joke. And then you keep reading and you're like, oh no, it's not a joke. And then you think, well, the Free Press just published it. Like, they just put it out there and made it public domain. So he sent it in. It's very interesting. It's very, very, I could do like a whole documentary on this three paragraph editorial.
Well, right, and it is very funny, but it's also very sad, because when you look at how masculinity is viewed in this country, I mean, look no further. We're talking about HBO. Look no further than that documentary, Valentine Road,
mm-hmm.
which you know, about that 15-year-old mm-hmm. budding trans teen who was shot in class in cold blood by this guy that he said, "I have a crush on you." And because his friends made fun of him,
right?
You know, oh, you like him, you're this, you're that. He came in, I mean, and this is just one example of so many.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. I leave it out there. I may have to read it a few more times on the show and get more people's feedback, because I mean, it's something else. It's something else. That's all I can tell you. But hey, Chattanooga Free Press printed it, and they put it out there. Obviously, he wanted that to be heard.
What kind of a doctor is he?
I think he's maybe like not really a chiropractor, but some kind of doctor that would be kind of do chiropractic work and something else. I can't remember. We were trying to.
Oh, I know. He's like the doctor of psychology, like the Scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz.
No. I mean, I thought he was probably going to be like a PhD doctor, but honestly, I think that might scare me more. But it's a God love him. Just God love him. I hope he finds all that he's looking for. I'm not sure exactly he knows what he's looking for.
Maybe he found something, and that's why he's a little...
This is what I'm saying. Hey, so before we break for the news, your big exciting news is that we at Windy City Times is marking your 10th anniversary as their film critic with the Best of Night at the Movies. It's a collection of your movie reviews from 2004 to 2014. And I love this because it's amazing that any review written from you is going to be written through a queer or gay perspective, which I love. And not only do you have reviews, but you have essays. Talk to me about how this book came about and what's included in the book.
Well, I had been talking to our fearless leader at Windy City Times, Tracy Baim, at one point, and realized my 10-year anniversary was coming up. And I have done three previous collections of my reviews. And I thought, you know, what about the idea of maybe doing like kind of a best of?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go through and pick out some stuff that really sort of does show off. And as you say, I can't help writing from a queer perspective. That's who I am. I'm a gay man.
Yep.
But it's also been a privilege because there are not a lot of film critics who do that.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know... single out, well, you know, the best thing about this is that Henry Cavill had his shirt off.
Right.
You know, they're very quick to tell you that, you know, some buxom woman had her, you know, breasts exposed. But anyway, I mean, and not that I have a problem mentioning that as well. Because,
I know.
You know, there's...
You're an equal opportunity offender.
I love it. Absolutely. So just kind of thought, well, I started working on, you know, reading back through 10 years of stuff and eventually came up with it's 150. And as you say, there are a couple of essay pieces included as well. At one point I wrote an essay about Brando. Another time I wrote about mother-daughter movies. So things like that. And it goes all the way from my very first column, which is called Reinventing the Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all about, you know, at that point, even then, there was certainly a fair amount of queer cinema. But, you know, we as gay people, as queer people, have learned to sort of reinvent what we don't see.
Right.
You know, at the end of the last Harry Potter 8, when they go in the future and they're all putting their kids on the train, I kept waiting for, you know, who's the blonde one, the mean one?
Draco.
Yeah, Draco. I kept waiting for Draco and his boyfriend and his partner to have their little boy, their little girl,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have a single gay character.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, isn't Gandalf gay? Is that his name? No.
Dumbledore. But
Dumbledore.
He's not in the movie gay. It's like she announced it after the books and whatever. Oh, by the way.
Oh, gotcha.
So, I just... automatically started reimagining he was there with his boy, which is what I've always done. So that's kind of the stuff that I would write about in my reviews. And so that's just one example of many, many different genres that I've covered. Of course, a lot of queer indie cinema, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, always the number one priority for the column.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes all the way up to The Normal Heart.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is still playing on HBO.
So do you think we're seeing more movies that are truly just about the gay experience, or are we just seeing movies where the gay experience is woven through?
I think you're seeing more movies where it's woven through. Until the gay experience is a moneymaker,
mm-hmm.
until that becomes... you know, blockbuster territory, then you're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And this has happened pretty much to almost every genre of films.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the movie theaters have been taken over by these blockbuster comic book things because they make $1 zillion. And that's the audience. And that's kind of the, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, maybe at the end of the year you get a Dallas Buyers Club or a Kill Your Darlings or a Milk or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ryan Murphy told me years ago, this like in 2004 when he made Running with Scissors, even at that point, it was very hard to get a drama greenlit. Mm-hmm. They just don't make a lot of money. And again, when you look at kind of what makes the most money and what makes the least money,
right?
The gay and lesbian experience is second only to religious films.
Wow.
As far as trying to get somebody to, you know, give you money to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you do see more and more gay characters folded within other movies. I think pretty soon we are going to see a gay character in one of these comic book Marvel kind of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I think it's opening this weekend, How to Train Your Dragon 2. There's mm-hmm. a gay character, which is an animated film for children.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there have been a lot of strides. It's just that always with Hollywood, it's the bottom line is money.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's interesting, though, because those big... you know, those big religious movies make a lot of money if they're good and they have a lot of something behind them. You know, everybody goes because they're starving for them. And I just think that we need to get the gay community doing the same thing.
Well, a part of this also has to do with the segmentation of just our culture.
Mm-hmm.
That the movie-going experience that you have a group, this what do they call these what do they call young people now? I'm so old. Do they have a name? Are they called a YouTube generation? Or
oh, God, I don't even know.
I don't know what they call them.
Too.
But they don't have this experience. They didn't grow up with where you go into a movie theater, you sit down, you pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is about, and of course I'm generalizing here because there are exceptions to all of these rules, but people watch stuff on their little phone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really necessarily, you know, people don't necessarily care about the movie-going experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you that, and again, here I am talking about, you know, something that you watch on television. Seeing The Normal Heart in a theater, I went to a special screening of it, with an audience of gay people, I can't even begin to describe how powerful it was.
Mm.
And we've all had that experience, and not necessarily even with our peers. Something that is amazing about the about film is to go and watch it with strangers and experience,
yeah.
You know, like Jurassic Park in 1993 was like, wow.
Yes.
You know, Silence of the Lambs. Nobody. I remember going and nobody really knew what it was about. And,
mm-hmm.
you know... So, I don't know, I got way off the subject.
No, it's super, super, super cool. So, this and more, you're going to be doing a signing, and people can buy the book and get it signed, and I'm sure you'll be talking at Women and Children First on
Thursday, July.
Yeah, Thursday the 19th, this Thursday. So, will you be reading, and what's that going to be about?
Well, I'm very, very happy I'm going to be sharing the stage with Tracy Baim,
mm-hmm.
The human dynamo, who has co-authored two new books, one about Vernita Gray, the activist, and then another about the fight for marriage equality here in Illinois. And Owen Keenan is also going to be there. Kate Sozin, another author, co-author, is not going to be. So I'm going to share the stage with those two. And I have this idea because I'm like the comic relief.
Yes.
You know, those are pretty serious subjects, and I'm going to get up and you know, maybe talk about The Help or The Stepford Wives or,
yes.
You know, Watchmen. Like, I started my review of Watchmen by saying, who do you think is the animator who made the little blue penis flop up and down?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I have this idea that maybe what I'll do is I'm going to take certain specific titles that I like a lot and just put them in a fishbowl and have people pull them out, and that's what I'll read.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea. Well, Bruce Valanche, the gay icon, has already seen the book, and he said if Fred Phelps were alive, he would pick at this book. So you get this book yourself at Women and Children's First Bookstore. You can also get it at Create Space and at Richard's website, which is nightatthemovies.com, and that's night with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T, nightatthemovies.com. We'll have that linked in our show notes, so you can just click right there and go through to this site and get the book. We're going to take a quick break, tell you what's going on in the LGBT news and theater scene. We'll be back with Richard Knight. We're going to be looking at the summer movies.
Yeah. I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Voters selected Carl DeMaio as one of the top two candidates in the blanket primary for the right to represent California's 52nd Congressional District, moving DeMaio, 39, one step closer to becoming the first openly gay Republican elected to Congress. The former San Diego City Councilman, who lost a bid to become that city's mayor in 2012, will face off against freshman Democratic Representative Scott Peters in November.
Long Beach, California elected its first openly gay and first Latino mayor when City Councilman Robert Garcia narrowly defeated real estate investor Damon Dunn in an expensive race that broke city records for election spending. Garcia, who joined the city council in 2009, will also be the city's youngest ever mayor. Dunn, who would have been the city's first black mayor, said that Garcia will be a fantastic mayor. The city of Long Beach is lucky to have him.
In Philadelphia, an arrest has been made in an April attack on a Canadian tourist who said he was held at gunpoint and raped in his hotel room by a man he met using the gay hookup app Grindr. Police arrested 26-year-old Douglas Casey and set bail at $1 million. Charges are sexual assault, indecent deviant sexual intercourse, kidnapping for ransom, terroristic threats, and false imprisonment.
The U.S. Supreme Court refused to block same-sex marriages in Oregon. In a terse one-sentence order, the court rejected a request from the National Organization of Marriage to stay the May 19th federal court ruling allowing gays and lesbians to marry in Oregon. The Supreme Court action came after U.S. District Judge Michael McShane of Eugene overturned the 2004 Oregon constitutional amendment that voters approved, limiting marriage to one man and one woman.
On June 6th, the U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb ruled that Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional, to the delight of gay couples who immediately began rushing to county offices to wed as word of the ruling spread. The ruling marked the latest in a string of decisions by federal judges who have struck down marriage equality bans in a number of states, although the Wisconsin ruling sparked some confusion over whether such marriages could legally proceed. Clerks in two counties issued marriage licenses to same-sex couples on the night of June 6th, prompting Wisconsin's attorney general to file an emergency motion asking the judge to stay her ruling.
A Southern Baptist church in California has decided to keep a pastor who came out in support of gay rights and against the Southern Baptist Convention's official position on homosexuality. Pastor Danny Cortez told elders at New Heart Community Church of La Miranda, California, that he no longer believes that being gay is a sin. Cortez explained he had a change of heart last August and that his son Drew came out to him last fall.
A Washington, D.C. principal was met with cheers as he came out to his students as gay during a Pride Day event that drew protest threats from the Westboro Baptist Church. "I turned 50. I'm tired of hiding," Principal Pete K. Hall said before praising Wilson High School students for the supportive environment they've created since Westboro Baptist Church made their plans known.
A Miami-Dade circuit judge told three conservative groups that they could not legally co-defend Florida's gay marriage ban in court. The conservatives last month asked Circuit Judge Sarah Zabel to allow them to be co-defendants in the case brought by six same-sex couples seeking marriage licenses. However, Zabel ruled the groups had no more at stake than millions of other Floridians and no personal stake in the constitutionality of Florida's ban, which passed in 2008 with nearly 62% of the vote.
A draft of the Texas Republican Party's new platform embraces gay conversion therapy, arguing that it is a viable option for patients who are seeking escape from the homosexual lifestyle. Moreover, The current document, adopted in 2012, sharply condemns equality for LGBT individuals.
Honey Made Snacks followed the lead of Lucky Charm cereal and posted an image celebrating LGBT pride and equality on its social media. The snack maker posted an image of two graham crackers stacked like an equality symbol that alternated with the tagline, "This is wholesome."
Authorities say a transgender woman was held as a slave in rural northwestern Louisiana for 2 years in what local authorities describe as the most severe and disturbing case of human trafficking ever investigated in the area. The woman escaped captivity in Ajax, Louisiana, and was picked up last week by an assistant town marshal at an Interstate 49 exit. She had a logging chain wrapped around her body. David Rodriguez, Jr., 37, one of three arrested in the case, tattooed the woman and registered her as a slave on a website that bills itself as only registering people for consensual, submissive, or slave relationships.
The American Medical Association said transgender people shouldn't have to have surgery to change their birth certificate. The move by the AMA at the group's policymaking House of Delegates meeting adds an important medical voice to the recently contentious debate on the issue in state capitals across the country. Transgender people say they need IDs to accurately reflect their gender when they apply for jobs, travel, and seek certain government services, among other things.
A lesbian attorney is poised to become the first openly gay person on Puerto Rico's Supreme Court after the U.S. territory's governor nominated her. Maite Oronos Rodriguez, who currently serves as legal director for the city of San Juan, received the nomination. The Puerto Rico Senate is expected to approve this historic nomination.
The ACLU filed a federal lawsuit challenging Alabama's ban on marriage for same-sex couples. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of April and Ginger Aaron Brush of Birmingham. The couple wed in Massachusetts. However, their marriage is not recognized in their home state. The lawsuit was filed in Birmingham at the United States District Court for the Northern District of Alabama.
In world news, several thousand people turned out for Cyprus's first gay pride parade May 31st, exceeding the expectations of organizers. Cyprus, a European Union member and a largely Orthodox Christian society, decriminalized homosexuality a dozen years ago, but activists say the nation has much to improve on in terms of gay rights.
Almost 500,000 people listed themselves as third gender or transgender in India's most recent census, the first time the Indian government has sought to ask how many people identify as such. More than 50,000 of those were under the age of 6 and were thus recorded by their parents as being transgender.
The Hong Kong government has refused to allow gay couples to marry at the British consulate. Initially, the British Foreign and Commonwealth Office announced it would allow overseas missions to perform same-sex marriages for Britons and their partners in countries where it is illegal under local laws. However, Hong Kong has objected to the development. Gay marriage and civil partnerships are illegal in socially conservative Hong Kong, where homosexuality was only decriminalized in 1991.
The Slovakian parliament has amended the nation's constitution to ban same-sex couples from seeking marriage. The Slovakia National Council voted to alter the text of the constitution to define marriage as between one man and one woman.
In entertainment news, R. Kelly's 14-year-old daughter, Jaya Kelly, has come out as a transgender boy. Jaya announced that he is a trans guy and is now living his life as a male. Jaya now goes by the name Jay. R. Kelly's ex-wife, Andrea, is fully supporting Jaya, although there's been no word about the reaction of the singer.
Initial casting has been announced for the Hollywood Bowl's upcoming production of Hair, which out Emmy nominee Adam Shankman will direct and choreograph. The staging will star Weeds alum Hunter Parrish as Vietnam War draftee Claude, the apex of a bisexual love triangle with a bohemian tribe. The Hollywood Bowl production runs August 1st through 3rd and will also feature Frozen's Kristen Bell, Glee's Amber Riley, Glee's Jenna Ushkowitz, and National Lampoon Vacation's Beverly D'Angelo as Mom.
Yaya Da Costa, who made her television debut in Cycle 3 of America's Next Top Model, has been cast to play Whitney Houston in Lifetime's upcoming biopic. The Brown University graduate has acted in TV shows such as Ugly Betty, All My Children, and House, as well as films like Lee Daniels' The Butler. Oscar winner Angela Bassett will direct the film about the pop star, who died in 2012 at the age of 48.
Showtime will give viewers a look inside the daily struggles of a group of Southern lesbians in L Word, Mississippi, Hate the Sin, which will premiere on the network Friday, August 8th. The 90-minute documentary, executive produced by Eileen Chaikin of the L Word and the Real L Word, spotlights the unique challenges of being lesbians in between the coasts in the religious, conservative Deep South.
On June 17th, now out British singer/songwriter Sam Smith will release his debut album, In the Lonely Hour, and Target is offering fans with three bonus tracks on the store's exclusive deluxe edition of the album.
Singer Melissa Etheridge married Linda Wallum, the creator of the show Nurse Jackie, on May 31st in Montecito, California. All four of Etheridge's children participate in the wedding, Bailey Jean, 17, Beckett, 15, and twins Miller Stephen and Johnny Rose, age 7. Attending the ceremony were Jane Lynch, Chelsea Handler, Rosie O'Donnell, Whitney Cummings, Peter Facinelli, and more.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Patrick Bristow, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. What do you think of that?
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 16th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater proudly presents a world premiere adaptation of Terry Pratchett's 2003 Discworld novel, Monstrous Regiment, a wickedly funny look at war and gender politics. Tickets and more for Monstrous Regiment at lifelinetheater.com. Runs Thursdays through Sundays through July 20th.
Experience a brand new musical coming to life with soaring melodies paired with poignant and witty lyrics. Days Like Today explores what it takes to maintain a relationship in a world where love seems sometimes impossible. To purchase tickets to Days Like Today, visit writerstheater.org. Days Like Today is now playing at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
Main Stage in Rogers Park presents America's favorite Dragapella group, the Kinsey Six, performing a new show, America's Next Top Bachelor Housewife Celebrity Hoarder Makeover Star, Gone Wild. Two shows only on August 1st. Tickets at MAYNESTAGE.com. Don't miss the Kinsey Six. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Everybody comes to Hollywood. They want to make it in the neighborhood. They like the smell of it in Hollywood. How could it hurt you when it looks so good? Shine your light.
So it's time for summer, thank God, because this chilly weather is about to kill me. But it does make for a good entry into the summer, going into movie theaters and starting to see great action adventure or the big summer blockbusters. And so who better to talk with me? And we may not even get through the whole summer, but we get through some of the summer, the first couple of months here at least, with Richard Knight Jr. as he takes us to the movies. So, Richard, I've seen at least one blockbuster. I saw the X-Men new movie, which I enjoyed thoroughly and saw
with really
young ones.
I really did too.
Isn't the X-Men kind of like our queer series? I mean,
yes. Absolutely.
You know, and the fact that it's Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen but at the helm. But I just feel like it's the one that's so resonant for us as LGBT people, right?
Oh, totally. And you know, that's what I've said about all the X-Men. That's what I said about this one. You know, the fact that these mutants, you know, if you just replace that with the word, you know, queer or gay or homosexual or lesbian or whatever, I mean, you know, this is a group of people that are on the fringes that have to hide their differences, mm-hmm. their unique qualities, their special this or special that. I mean, they're very, very gay.
Yes.
In a good way, in a good way.
And it's really a good movie. I mean, I thought.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that I really like about X-Men is that because, you know, they have these special qualities, they have these special things. In one movie, they can be really bad, and the next one, they're nice again. Mm-hmm. I mean, Magneto, the character that Ian McKellen plays, he goes back and forth. Sometimes he's horrible, then he's sort of nice. I mean, there's some juice, there's some character. I mean, when you look at some of these other Marvel comic movies, like Captain America, like, mm-hmm. oh, if they do, they just keep blowing stuff up. Oh, they're blowing mm-hmm. something else up. Mm-hmm. Yes, Chris Evans is a beautiful body, but oh, come on, you know. I'm just not involved.
Yeah.
I kind of mentally sort of check out, and I have never done that with the X-Men pictures.
Mm. Well, that's really good. I know Tom Cruise has a movie this summer. I expected it not to be good. I've heard that it is good. What do you think?
I have not seen it, but I love Emily Blunt.
Yep.
And I always remind people that her first movie was one of the best lesbian romances you'll ever see. Mm. It's called My Summer of Love. It's from 2004. It's in my book.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
She's so great in that, and I have had sort of a very tricky history with Mr. Cruise, but I kind of want to see it because I really liked Oblivion.
Yeah. Oh, you liked Oblivion.
I did. I really did. The last sci-fi kind of movie that he made. So I haven't seen it yet, but I would see it.
Yeah, I hear that what's cool about it is that he's actually not the hero. Like, the hero is actually Emily Blunt, that she's the badass, and that his job is to become a badass. So you actually get to watch him be humbled and progress from a non-fighter, non-action hero through the course of the film, trying to see if she can train him to be a hero. And that's an interesting premise to me, that it would be a woman at the helm doing
well,
that.
Well, right. And anybody who can train Tom Cruise to not act with exclamation points would be, you know, I'd love to see that. So
tell me what else. What are you super excited about? What are you super excited about that doesn't have to be LGBT? And then tell me what you're super excited about. Give me a couple that are.
Well, I'm probably the only show tune queen in the world that never saw Jersey Boys.
Oh, you're kidding. It's
never
an amazing musical.
It. Right.
Yeah,
and I love the music of the Four Seasons. So I'm very cautiously optimistic because I'm not a big Clint Eastwood fan. I mean, I should, you know, there are certain things that he's done that I like a lot, but most of his stuff puts me to sleep.
Okay.
But I have to assume that because it's a jukebox musical and it has those four, you know, cute guys,
mm-hmm.
the trailer looks pretty fun. So yeah. I'm pretty psyched about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about Jersey Boys, too.
I would also say, okay, we're looking for non-queer stuff.
It doesn't matter. Give me whatever you got. What are you excited about?
Okay, well, I'm excited about seeing the Weinstein picture Yves Saint Laurent, which is about...
Ooh.
The French designer.
Mm-hmm.
I should say semi-excited because it apparently has gotten a share of not great reviews. I love fashion. He had a very interesting career. And so that's coming out in June. I'm kind of psyched to see Melissa McCarthy paired up with Susan Sarandon.
I am too. I mean, look, she's not queer. She's so happily married, but she's just so queer in that she is just out there. I mean, she is her own category, and I love that. But it's kind of odd and weird for me to think of Susan Sarandon as a grandmother with, like, white curly hair.
Right.
That's all I'll say about that.
We're talking about the movie Tammy, which comes out 4th of July weekend. Now, I was not a fan at all of Identity Thief. which was so crude and gross and just not funny. It's so easy to work blue.
Yeah.
It's so easy, and it's so much harder not to. But this looks like it's an interesting premise, and I want to say that Kathy Bates plays the lesbian character in it because there's like a major lesbian relationship in it.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
And I really like Mark Duplass, who's in it as well. And so, I mean, I think that looks cool. I know that this is kind of interesting. You know, the new Wachowski film, Alan and Andy, Jupiter Ascending, they just announced this big sci-fi picture with Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis has been moved from July to February.
Ooh.
Like, ooh.
Does that mean there's trouble in Tahiti? What does that mean?
That usually doesn't bode very well. Like, okay. I don't know. You know, I mean, I was a big fan of Cloud Atlas. I liked it. I love you for Vendetta. So maybe it's just a little bit more psychologically complex than the typical blockbuster action-y kind of thing, which makes me excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see that till next February. We better talk about this movie called The 100-Foot Journey.
Oh, because The Mirren, Dame Helen Mirren. You know I'm already ready for that. I am like, I don't want to wish my summer away, but I'm kind of excited for August, let me just say.
Yeah, and she plays kind of the baddie, the villain, the owner of this kind of five-star French restaurant, and this Indian family opens right across 100 feet away.
Yep. What's really kind of great, though, is I feel like it's going to have the feel of, like, Slumdog and the spirit, you know, this kind of joyous... Because I don't mean that just because because of the culture. I also just mean, well, I do mean because of the culture, but I mean, you know, that was set around, what was the Regis film and television show, you know, Become a Millionaire or whatever. So it's this very American concept, you know, or this form that feels, you know, kind of owned by one country. And of course, Helen Mirren in this is a French cook. So we often think of the French as being kind of the grand cuisine people. So I kind of just love that. You know, it's like the Indian culture infiltrating.
Well, it's this summer's best exotic Marigold Hotel. Totally.
Oh,
yes. This one is being pitched for myself, and this is the one to take mom to, and you know, this is the alternative programming, which has worked very well for Meryl Streep. You know, they've learned that you know, the older folks will go to the movies too.
Yep.
They throw those pictures out, which reminds me, Meryl Streep is in a sci-fi movie coming up.
A what movie?
It's a sci-fi picture with Jeff Bridges. It's called The Giver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you know, another attempt to do one of those sci-fi teen franchises.
But this is like a really award-winning book, The Giver. I mean, kids read that in school as nowadays.
Like kind of like Divergent and Ender's Game and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it is, and yet that I think it's considered a greater work of literature than Hunger Games or one of those. I mean, like I think it's a mandatory reading in a couple of schools and things for junior high age kids. So... But that's cool. I've never known Meryl Streep to do anything sci-fi. She's done fantasy, but has she done sci-fi?
I don't think so.
I mean, unless you consider, like, you know, Death Becomes Her sci-fi, which it's really not.
No, that's not. I mean, that's fabulous black camp comedy. I think she kind of looks like kind of a villain character in the trailer. So, but those are two August pictures that are coming up that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also really the new Ira Sachs picture, the openly gay writer director, who did Any Day Now, the Alan Cumming picture. Oh wait, no, he didn't do Any Day Now, or did he do Any Day Now? He did the one about the young couple with the addiction problems in New York. I can't think of the name of it. That was so good. But he has this new movie with John Lithgow and Alfred Molina called Love is Strange. That's coming out in August. About the older gay couple, they're married, and then once they get married, like, their whole life falls apart. It's supposed to, I mean, John Lithgow is supposed to be amazing, and I love Alfred Molina. And, that looks really, really good. It's called Keep the Lights On. That's the name of the movie Ira Sachs did about the young couple that had the drug problems. So those all look good, you know, and then there's guilty pleasure stuff like Hercules, the next, I guess people are excited about the next Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy kind of thing. I mean, I like Chris Pratt. He's so funny as the voice in the Lego movie.
I am an old fan of his because, you know, he used to be on Everwood, and he played just like the dumb jock on the television series Everwood with Treat Williams, and was on, I don't know, a long time ago. decade ago now, but he's just so great now with on Parks and Recreation and now making films and totally transformed his body, right? Like,
yeah,
to and from for another number of films. So I feel like he's due for a breakout moment, this guy.
The Music Box is going to show this very, very funny film with when you mentioned Parks and Recreation, I think of Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd. And it's a parody of romantic comedies that the Critics Association that I'm part of showed us last month as their festival. It's going to be showing at the end of June. It's called We Came Together. I mean, in like every Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks movie is parodied. I mean, it's just so spot on. It's by the writer-director of Wet Hot American Summer. And it's loaded with gay, you know, material. They don't play gay characters, but really, really funny parody comedy, which I haven't seen in a long time.
That's funny.
So.
Well, and do you think this summer is looking like we're going to have that big star, that big hit? I mean, a lot of people have been saying that the young adult novel, The Fault in Our Stars, is going to be, you know, is going to bash Tom Cruise for the summer or...
Well, it did. And that's a huge surprise that a little tiny, I don't know, you know, to me, it's this generation's endless love. You know, my generation, it was Billy Jack, this little tiny picture that came out of nowhere. And you had to see it like 10 times. You kept going back again and again and again. I mean, there was American Graffiti there, Rebel Without a Cause. I don't know. Story and character, certainly, at the end of the day, that's what you remember.
It is indeed. Well, I'm sure you would say get out and go see a movie. I would say summer is also a great time to go outside to the parks and watch classic movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For free.
Definitely.
I mean, to me, that is summer in Chicago, at least, and maybe wherever you're listening to this, they might do that as well. The opportunity to go out and watch a movie on a field and take food. I know that I'm going to be traveling to the South with some women, and also there'll be some kids involved. And I'm on the quest for a good drive-in because there are still some drive-ins that kids today have never been to drive-ins, at least the kids I know. So I don't know. There's this wonderful thing about, you know, throwing out a blanket or rolling down the window of
your
car.
There is still one up in the Wisconsin Dells, I think. And I grew up with drive-ins. And, that's absolutely, I have some wonderful memories of the drive-in.
Oh, I used to be able to go to a friend's house and sit on the hill, and she had this, like, carousel playground thing. It was like you'd get on the little seat and you'd pump and there'd be four or five of you and it would swirl around like it was a playground you know, piece of equipment.
Okay.
But we used to be able to sit up there and we could see the drive-in in my hometown way down the hill, and we could see the whole screen. I remember like seeing King Kong or something. You could see the whole screen. You couldn't hear it, but you could like see it in the distance, and it was just the coolest thing. So I too have very fond memories. God, I sound like I'm 97, don't I?
I saw, no, I'm 97. I saw MAME at the drive-in.
You did?
Yes, with Lucille Ball. And all the next day at school, my friend Susan Fegler and I, her name was Susan Selden, we would walk around saying, charmed, charmed.
Charmed, charmed.
Charmed. And every gay man in America will know I'm talking about what scene. Charmed.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, keep some of those drive-ins alive, folks. We need them alive. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Well, Richard Knight Jr., I hope people will pick up your book. It's a great gift to give someone in your life who loves movies or to have on your shelf when you're like, hey, let's watch a great movie, or what movie have we not seen? It's true now that movies are accessible to us by fingertips on laptops, on demand. But what movies have you not seen? Do you want to see? And go through his book, where he's looking at 10-year, the third installment, the 10-year anniversary, the best of Night at the Movies. It's a collection of Richard's movie reviews from 2004 to 2014, written from his perspective, which is always funny, definitely queer, and really shrewd and smart. And we have that linked in our show notes, nightatthemovies.com. And you can show up this Thursday, June 19th, right here in the Gayborhood at Women and Kids, Women and Children First, at 5233 North Clark, just north of Foster and Clark. And he'll be there with publisher and editor of Windy City Times, Tracy Baim, with her book, her books as well. So
and Owen Keenan will also be
Owen
there.
Owen Keenan as well. Yeah. So it's a great night in the middle of Pride to celebrate just, you know, our community. So I hope people will pick up your book, even if you don't live in Chicago. This is something you can enjoy no matter
where. Yeah, you can order it. You know, if you need a little guidance.
That's right. And who doesn't? Who doesn't, Richard? Hey, happy Pride, Richard, and thank you so much.
You
and we'll have you on later on this summer, and we'll look to fall. I can't believe it. But we'll also just have to dish about the Mirren.
That's what
you and I, that's what we do.
Yep.
Have a great week, everyone. I need to let you know the big Windy City Gay Idol Finals are Wednesday, June 25th at Main Stage, MAYNESTAGE.com. Tickets are on sale. If you get the VIP tickets, they're $25. That includes all taxes, all fees. You have a guaranteed seat, tableside service. You have access to the VIP bar on the second floor. You're entered to win a trip for 5 days, two people, a trip for 5 days to Curacao that we will draw that night just from the people there, and many, many more prizes, great pavilion seats at Ravinia, and much, much more. Get those tickets. If you want to do the general admission, it's only $15. You get in, you get a ballot, you get to vote. You are entered to win that trip to Curacao, so that's a great deal, too. For those of you with young legs who don't need a seat, it'll be packed. So come early, folks, to Main Stage there in Rogers Park, June 25th. Make your plans and come and help us crown our 2014 Windy City Gay Idol. Man, it's all happening. Pride Fest, Pride Parade. The month is upon us. So enjoy. Go out and be proud. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.